Good morning, members of the commission, staff, ladies and gentlemen. Planning Commission is now in session. There's a few rules and procedures we ask that you follow. First, everyone will be given an opportunity to be heard. When it is your turn to speak, please come to the podium and state your name and address clearly for the record. Those in favor of the application will be heard first, and then those opposed will be given the opportunity to speak. After that, the applicant will be given time for rebuttal, and if necessary, those opposed will be given the opportunity to surrebut. We ask that you limit your presentations or testimony to 5 minutes or less. The chair reserves the right to limit testimony and will exercise that right in the interest of others who have business before the commission. After all the speakers have been heard, the hearing will be closed. At that point, additional comments from the public will not be allowed unless one of the commissioners asks that the hearing be reopened. Finally, the commissioners will discuss the application, make motions, and vote to reach a decision. If you're not satisfied with the decision, you may be able to appeal it to the Board of Supervisors. Appeals must be filed within a specified period of time after today's hearing, and you can check with staff for the procedures to follow in filing your appeal. Please make sure your phones and mobile pagers are on mute. Thank you. Commissioner Chata, would you lead us in the flag salute, please?
Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Let's see. First item is consent agenda. There are no items on the consent agenda.
Sir, do we want to do roll call first?
That would be good. Yes, please.
Commissioner Arabian?
Here.
Commissioner Carver?
Here.
Commissioner Chata?
Here.
Commissioner Yule is absent. Commissioner Wolf is absent. Commissioner Zante?
Here.
Vice Chair Hill is absent. Chairman Abrahamian?
It sounds like he's absent too. But yeah, he's here.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, going on to no items on the consent agenda. On the regular agenda, the first item is public presentations. This is for, it's reserved for anyone wishing to address the commission on any matter within our jurisdiction, but not on today's agenda. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to address us? Seeing none, we'll go to item number two.
Regular agenda item number two, unclassified conditional use permit application number 3694 and initial study number 7995. Filed by Stemmels Produce Incorporated, proposing to allow the construction and operation of a private use airport for business and personal use and crop dusting consisting of an approximately 4,847 foot long by 75 foot wide runway, along with an approximately 10,173 square foot hangar building with offices and a 2,000 square foot caretaker's residence on a 434.93 acre parcel in the AE20 zone district. The project site is located approximately 1/2 mile northeast of the intersection of West California Avenue and South Lyon Avenue, and approximately 4 miles southwest of the nearest city limits of the city of Mendota.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. Jeremy Shaw with the Department of Public Works and Planning. This application proposes to allow the operation of a private use airport for personal, business, and agricultural purposes, along with the construction of an aircraft hangar building with an office and lounge area. The airstrip and hangar building will comprise approximately 8 acres of the 434-acre subject parcel, the remainder of which is utilized for growing pistachio trees. The airport operational hours will be limited to between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m. 7 days per week. Subject parcel is located on the north side of West California Avenue, near its intersection with South Lyon Avenue, approximately 4 miles southwest of the city of Mendota. The following slide shows a drawing of the runway and proposed hangar building. This enlarged version of the site plan shows the hangar building as it relates to the runway. Here's an aerial of the site with dimensions drawn in. is a photograph of the existing runway looking west-northwest. Here are some elevation drawings of the proposed hangar building. As per the zoning ordinance, Section 873, there are five findings that must be made in order to approve a conditional use permit. In this case, staff is able to make all five of the required findings and therefore recommends that the Planning Commission approve conditional use permit application number 3694, subject to the mitigation measures, conditions of approval, and project notes, with the addition of condition number three, as shown on this slide. This concludes my presentation. I'm happy to address any questions on this item.
You just, for the record, read condition number three.
You want to read the condition?
Yeah, please.
Condition number three would require the irrevocable offer of dedication of 12 feet of road right-of-way along the subject property frontage on California Avenue to meet the ultimate right-of-way of 84 feet as per the general plan.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any questions of staff?
We haven't done one of these while I've been on. As far as FAA requirements and things like that, that is separate, obviously, from us. But has that been taken care of already, or is that?
The project will be required to apply for a special use permit from the Division of Aeronautics of California, Caltrans. That's who regulates this type of airport.
Okay.
The FAA does have some jurisdiction, but only in the airspace safety aspect.
And that one picture, that's an existing runway there?
Yes, sir.
So that's, it's already.
Where was it? Yep. The runway has been constructed.
Okay.
Does having a runway on this piece of property affect the ability of neighboring properties to build up?
It could. Certainly. I mean, depending on the height of a particular structure, if we're talking about something that would be over the maximum allowable height limit, it could be an issue, certainly.
How long has that runway been there?
How long has it been there?
You said it's existing.
I'm not sure exactly when it was constructed. Fairly recently, though, within the last year and a half or so, maybe 2 years.
And when it was constructed, why wasn't it this? Why didn't it come before us then?
Is it the building? The county wasn't aware of its construction.
Just to be clear, the project still has other hurdles in terms of getting permits and such from the county for the construction that was done without permits. So they have to meet those statutory requirements. We're looking at just the land use portion of them, but you're correct that this process should have been done in the reverse. It's unfortunate they didn't do that.
But to clarify, if he owns the property, he can pour concrete on his own property, correct?
Well, it depends. When you're moving any earth moving greater than, I think, I don't know what the actual threshold is, but, a grading permit is required from the county to do that. And so that will be required them to obtain a grading permit for the work that was already done.
So will the runway have to come back before the Planning Commission for approval?
No, sir.
Will not.
Any other questions? Thank you, Jeremy. The applicant here, come forward.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. I'm Dirk Pushill, and I'm here this morning on behalf of the Stamoulis and Stephanopoulos family. Dio Stephanopoulos is with me this morning. His wife happens to be the pilot that will be piloting the airplanes that the family owns. The problem began when the family contacted a local concrete company that was familiar with these types of facilities, but did not obtain a conditional use permit. And once the family understood that that there was no conditional use permit, we immediately made application to Fresno County. We also made immediate conversation, had immediate conversations with Caltrans Division of Aeronautics, and we've had continual conversations with them over time. We've also filed what they, an FAA directive, which is identifying the location of, and coordinates of this airstrip. We're consistent with their criteria. Just as late as yesterday, I was on the phone with the Caltrans representative. He told me that the Mendota Airport is going to be closing. There is not going to be a problem with the approval of the project because it was built to private airstrip standards. To give you some background as to why they built the facility, outside of this picture is the Stamoulis packing facility, where they bring in a wide variety of fruits and nuts that are grown on their properties. What the family would like to do is to be able to fly in people that come in internationally. We'd either go into LA or Denver and have trouble getting into Fresno. They could pick them up, bring them here, conduct their business, and then can fly them back. The major piece of the property is 434 acres. We're going to consume about 28 acres. We did two comprehensive noise studies. The noise studies both concluded that the types of aircraft that we're using here will not be adverse to any of the properties that are nearby. The closest school is well over a mile away. The county Environmental Health Department has reviewed those noise studies and found them to be accurate. The FAA has construction standards for the depth of the concrete and other materials specifications. We exceed those requirements. We've also restricted the type of aircraft and the time that those aircraft can come onto the site, and that the use of the airport airstrip will be by invitation only. So it's not going to be people flying in like Sierra Sky Park. To put it in perspective, using Sierra Sky Park as an example, Sierra Sky Park is 2,473 feet, 50 feet wide, and can handle these very same type of aircraft that we're proposing. This airstrip is 4,847 feet long, 75 feet wide. We've gone through extensive description of flight safety requirements in our operational statement. And we are quite confident that Caltrans is going to also approve the permit. As I said, we've had numerous conversations with Caltrans. And as a matter of fact, I was quite surprised how helpful they were. But we're very confident that they will approve their permitting of the strip. The grading permit is ready for approval, subject to the approval of this unclassified use permit. So we are confident that we meet all the health and safety standards. We are essentially our own neighbor. Mr. Stephanopoulos went to our, what as you could call, neighbors, and you'll see that we got letters of support from all of those people. So there's no one in opposition to the airstrip. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have of me.
I had one thing. I noticed in the conditional, the conditions of approval, you limited yourself from like 7 to 10, I think it is.
That's correct.
And you also note crop dusting in there, which is typically done at night. Are you comfortable with that? Or?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't have a problem with the project. I just don't know if you want to limit yourself that way. But.
The reason we did that, Mr. Arabian, excuse me, is that it has to do with the noise studies. As you probably recall, the noise requirements change after 10 o'clock. and in the morning from 7, earlier than 7 and later than 10 is a different, a more restrictive noise profile.
Okay. And while this is, I mean, it's, it'll be used for business, but it's still considered private airstrip, not
yes.
commercial.
That's correct.
By invitation only.
Oh, yes, that's correct. We have no intention of allowing anyone in ought to use the facility, as we mentioned, except for emergencies. As a matter of fact, the Caltrans representative that I spoke to yesterday said that he was contacted by a pilot who wanted to know if he could use the facility, and we said, no, we made it very clear. It's going to be by invitation only. We don't want the liability. We don't want issues.
Any other questions of the applicant? Thank you, Mr. Pushman.
Thank you.
Anyone else to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for a discussion and a motion. Motions are on page 12.
I'll make a motion to approve as read, as recommended by staff.
Second.
With the addition of the one condition.
Of the one condition.
All right, we have a motion by Commissioner Arabian, second by Commissioner Chata. Let's do a roll call vote.
Commissioner Arabian?
Yes.
Commissioner Chata?
Yes.
Commissioner Carver?
Yes.
Commissioner Yule is absent. Commissioner Wolf is absent. Commissioner Zante?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hill is absent. Chairman Abrahamian?
Yes. This item passes 5-0. We'll move on to item number 3.
Regular agenda item number 3, initial study number 8210 and unclassified conditional use permit application number 3738 filed by H2B2 USA LLC proposing to allow a full photovoltaic solar energy generation facility on an approximately 40-acre portion of a 324.66-acre parcel in the AE20 zone district. The project site is located on the south side of State Route 180, West Wrightsbridge Road, or Avenue, approximately 1.5 miles west of its intersection with South James Road, and is approximately 7.4 miles east of the city of Mendota.
Good morning again, Chairman and Commissioners. Jeremy Shaw, Public Works and Planning. This application proposes to allow the construction and operation of a solar generating energy generating facility with battery storage to provide renewable electric power to support a previously approved hydrogen generating facility. Project site is located in western unincorporated Fresno County along the south side of West Wrightsbridge Avenue, State Route 180, roughly midway between Mendota and Kerman. Land uses in the area are predominantly agricultural. This slide shows a layout of the proposed solar facility comprising approximately 40 acres and is situated easterly adjacent to the approved hydrogen facility. Whoops. Sorry. There we go. Hydrogen facility is located right there. There's a blown-up version of the hydrogen facility and the battery storage area. As per the zoning ordinance, section 873, there are 5 findings which must be made in order to approve a conditional use permit. And I'll read those this time. Finding 1, that the site for the proposed use is adequate in size and shape to accommodate said use. Finding 2, that the streets and highways are adequate in width and pavement type to support traffic generated by the proposed use. Finding 3, that the proposed use will have no adverse impact on abutting property and the surrounding neighborhood. Finding 4, that the proposed development is consistent with the general plan. And finding 5, that the conditions stated in the resolution are deemed necessary to protect the public health, safety, and general welfare. In the case of this application, staff was able to make all 5 of the required findings and therefore recommends that the Planning Commission approve unclassified conditional use permit application number 3738. Amending conditional use permit 3691, subject to the conditions of approval and project notes listed in Exhibit 1. Thank you. This concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to address any questions on this item.
Any questions? Thank you, Jeremy. The applicant here, come forward.
Good morning again, Dirk Pushel, 923 Van Ness. I'm here this morning with Miguel Ruelas, who is with H2B2. As the commission may recall, some months ago, you approved a hydrogen conversion facility using bovine waste from the Shahadi Dairy, which is immediately to the west. That facility is probably 90% constructed. We're very excited about it. It's beginning its very testing phases of producing hydrogen. The purpose of the solar field is to avoid a connection to the PG&E grid, which is across the street. There's power that runs on the north side of White's Bridge. It's probably $1.5 million, $2 million connection, and it's probably going to take 2 to 3 years, and we can't wait for PG&E. But it also provides us with the highest level of green energy. By, in other words, powering these motors and things that convert hydrogen by solar. It's relatively typical to other solar fields that you've seen as a commission. There's a estimate of rehabilitation should the facility close at some later date. We've read all of the conditions of approval, and we agree with them. And we ask that you support the conditional use permit as recommended by your staff.
Any questions of the applicant? Thank you.
Thank you.
You have any comments from neighbors? Received any?
We are kind of our own neighbor. Yeah. Mr. Shahadi owns most everything around it. And yeah, no comments. There was no opposition to any of the other previous permits.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else to speak in support of this application?
Good morning. My name is Julian Ramos. I am the client services manager at the Fresno County Economic Development Corporation. We're located at 1060 Fulton Street. Here in support of conditional use permit application 3738. We've worked with H2B2 for a few years, and we're eager for them to begin production. Probably not as eager as they are, though. This will be, if you may be aware, this will be the company's first vertically integrated facility on the West Coast, and we're proud that they've decided to land in Fresno County. The photovoltaic solar energy facility is really key, as Dirk mentioned, to the production of green hydrogen. Couple that with the nearby anaerobic digester, it's a great example of how to capitalize our existing feedstocks and really crucial in putting the county at the forefront of hydrogen production. It also helps in reaching the state's energy goals. So we thank you for your time and for consideration.
Any questions? Anyone else to speak in support? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for discussion and a motion. Motions are on page 9.
I'll make a motion to approve as read by staff.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Arabian, a second by Commissioner Zante to approve as per staff's recommendation. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Next item.
Regular agenda item number 4, variance application number 4121 and environmental review number 8144 filed by Ben Ewell proposing to allow the creation of 4 parcels approximately 5 acres each. Less than the minimum parcel size requirement for an existing 20.43 acre parcel in the AE20 zone district. The project is located on the north side of Biglione Drive, 0.25 miles east of North Fryant Avenue, approximately 1.28 miles north of the city of Fresno.
Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners.
As you can see here, the subject parcel is located here. The surrounding immediate parcels are all zoned AE20 and are approximately 20 acres in size. The applicant proposes to create four substandard parcels. You can see here, just like that, four benches. The physical characteristics of the land needs to be addressed. In order for the four findings need to be made, there needs to be an extraordinary circumstance tied to the land. As you can see here, the applicant's parcel does not have any physical impediments that would warrant creating four substandard parcels. As you see mentioned before, the parcels immediately adjacent to the subject parcel are relatively in the same condition and size, zoned AE20. There were a number of variances in the past that were meant to create substandard parcels. However, the majority of them were to create one additional substandard parcel. Thus, parcels in question were already substandard in size, and the planning commissioners, for the most part, were able to make the findings. However, variances should be looked at on its own rather than the surrounding parcels. There are four findings that I mentioned that need to be made. The applicant failed to meet all four of them. There's no extraordinary circumstance. There's no physical or substantial property right that the applicant is not enjoying. The applicant has already a by right home. The applicant can go through a process to get a secondary resident. However, the parcel to create four parcels is not a right enjoyed by the surrounding property owners. There will be an effect on the surrounding neighborhood. This ability to create four parcels will create four by right homes with an additional, if they wanted to, four secondary residences, increasing the residency by eight homes potentially. And it is contrary to the general plan, as mentioned ad nauseum. The parcel is zoned A20, and the parcels less than that are not allowed. The applicant can go through other processes, not on this parcel. They could go through a rezone, similar to what was done south of the property. But they chose not to do that. Therefore, we recommend that the variance to be denied, based on the four findings that they cannot be made. Thank you. That concludes my presentation.
Any questions?
Can you explain the difference between a rezone and what they're trying to do here?
So a rezone, similar to what was done here, it requires a different process to go about it. They'd have to go to the Board of Supervisors, not only the Atlantic Commission. It could potentially be lengthier in time, more expensive. We typically see applicants vouching to do what's called a parcel map as opposed to a 10-note track map. It's economically feasible for them to do that as opposed to a rezone. But it would be more, a rezone would be another method for them to go about doing this. They chose not to do that.
Any other questions? Jeremy, there was a comment made by the applicant in Exhibit 7 talking about the objectives of the general plan, referring to the Board of Supervisors, talking about this area that over the last decade, number four, are you familiar with that paragraph there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You have a comment on that? Did the Board of Supervisors actually have discussion about the future of that area or to rethink, as the what's in quotes there, with regards to the new designations on the?
They did not, no. It's our understanding that the area is, we're continuing to follow the path that the Board of Supervisors met, and we're continuing to follow the guidelines that the general plan offers, and that is to maintain ag and to keep the parcels at their current size of 20 acres or greater.
So the board never did what the applicant's saying? Never said to staff to rethink the area?
If I might, Chairman, let me clarify. The assertion made by the applicant, we cannot verify that. We have not received any direction from the board. We have nothing in minutes or an agenda item directing staff. We have not received any even anecdotal communications from senior management along these lines. There may be different conversations going independent of what an actual decision is, but it most certainly hasn't been any policy publicly or internally generated that supports this.
And how is the land used now?
It appears, based on what's addressed here, is that it's a single-family residence. The applicant could...
There's no farming on the property?
The applicant could clarify that for you.
Okay. All right, any other questions? Thank you, Jeremy. Would the applicant come forward?
I have one quick question.
Commissioner Arabian?
In regards to water, if this was cut into the four parcels, is that what we're doing? Four times five. Was there anything done on water availability? And
the Water Natural Resource Division reviewed this project. It's not in a low water area, but however, if there is additional parcels that were created, they may revisit this project as needed and may conduct the applicant to do a water well yield test or a hydro study. But at this time, they're not required to do so.
Oh. Why wouldn't they?
The project itself is not in a low water area. But in case if there were actual by right homes used, there would need to be a review of the water availability.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Thank you, Jeremy. Would the applicant come forward?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission. My name is Ben Yule, 735 West Alluvial, Fresno. Brought one of my five sons here. I don't hear too well sometimes, so he can sort it out for me. Anyway, I'm helping out Rosie Hayashi and her family, and quite a few of them are already here today. So the background on this, and maybe we start out a little bit with the people, and that is that they bought this property 18 years ago, so it's not something they just ran out last year to speculate on. And the other thing, that the maps are put up there probably don't tell quite the whole story. The whole emphasis of that area is it's exclusive agriculture. And Hayashis know a little bit about farming because they were vegetable farmers in West Fresno for a long time. And so just kind of point that out because, again, as I say, the whole emphasis in the staff report and in the zoning, exclusive ag, is agriculture. But I want to show you a couple things. And I don't know if you want to put – I actually have a folder for everybody which has these items in it. And there's two or three for staff. Or you can put them on this thing here, I guess. Okay, well, anyway, it's in the...
They have it,
yes. And you give the extras to David and the staff?
Yes.
Okay. Well, first item was hydrologic report, and there was a question about that. They did find, under the required hydrologic report from the... There's a letter in there, March 6, 2023, confirming that the hydrologic tests and report were adequate for the four parcels. And there was some reference about potential to put other houses on there, but that's all subject to water availability. Item number two is out of the updated general plan that's currently being circulated. And you'll see it specifically speaks of this area. And what the general plan is proposing, if you look at the attached map, number two, is that the area surrounding the subject property is being proposed for 5-acre parcels. Okay, the next map is one that we drew in. It's the same. Put that on there, yeah. Same area. Shows the 20 Hayashi parcel with that H with a 15 around it. And you'll see the colored area that they're proposing to switch from A20 to minimum 5 and take out the agricultural zoning or agricultural designation and put it into rural residential. The other thing which relates to that, you can leave that up there, is in that area, as I think might have been mentioned, there have been at least 15 variance applications to do something different than exclusive ag 20-acre minimums over the years, 13 of which I believe have been approved. Now, in addition to those 15 applications and 13 approvals, I counted about 50 more parcels in that area in 5 acres or less. So, as I said, these folks come from a farming background. This is not agricultural land. In fact, in the next item, if you want to put on here, okay. The other thing is in the general plan update, it's now saying if you're going to have agriculture and try to grow something with trees or irrigation, you have to have a minimum of 1 acre foot per acre, which would be, in this case, 20 acre feet per acre. This property and the surrounding properties would never sustain agriculture under these requirements. In fact, you can't grow anything really with 1 acre foot per acre, as you know. But if you need 3 or 4, that would be 60 to 80 feet, acre feet per year per parcel. Not possible with 20-acre minimums. The other interesting thing, which I think was actually referenced in the staff report, that this property was zoned 1 acre many years ago. And 46 years ago, it was zoned exclusive ag. So, as you know, a lot's happened in 46 years. So this, the makeup of this area and a lot of other areas that were zoned exclusive ag just don't fit with the current state of affairs out there. And as staff pointed out, that's not a reason, but I don't think this property could ever comply with agricultural requirements, even the minimum 1 acre foot per acre of water. And in the general plan update, it specifically says the reason they're proposing to change the general area is that because of water constraints. So you can have a nice house on 5 acres of land with maybe a half acre foot per year, but you wouldn't be able to get 20 acre feet that would be required for agriculture crops. So be glad to answer any questions, and we would respectfully request that you consider this as the unusual circumstances, which I didn't prepare the four findings that was done by a prior representative of the group, but I believe the items I've mentioned in the morning of inability to meet the requirements for water supply for agricultural use fits in with the need to make findings of why this particular project parcel is different.
Any questions?
Thank you.
I have a question. Yes. On the maps that you provided for us, mm-hmm. And the proposed new 5-acre parcels, that's the shaded area, which doesn't include the subject parcel, correct?
That's what they're proposing to change from exclusive ag into 5 acres. It does not include this parcel. Now, I've spoken to the county administrative folks that are preparing the update about what to do with the rest of this. Generally, the way this lays out is you've got all this urbanization, and then on the sort of the background of this is the Little Dry Creek, which is just over the hill, so to speak, from this property. And once you get beyond, that's different. You know, that is cattle grazing land, large parcels, thousands of acres and all that. But you can't even graze cattle on this property because, you know, on a 20-acre parcel, your neighbors are going to be upset because of the cows and everything, and you can't irrigate any of it. So that means that it's dry as a bone, you know, most of the year. But you're right, that shaded area, which is what's proposed to change to fives, does not include this particular parcel.
Any other questions?
Well, what it does, though, it shows the intent that times have changed out there after 46 years. And I wasn't there at the time, but I'm assuming since it went from 1 acre to exclusive ag that they were trying to put in a holding pattern until development did occur.
Mr. Yule, I'd like you to talk about the findings a little bit more.
Right.
And I don't disagree with the what you're stating with regard to the objective of the general plan and the ag usage and
right.
difficulty in doing that. But as far as some of the other variance findings that we need to make, it's up there. Conditions, extraordinary circumstances, conditions. Just if you go over some of the others, I don't see it as for the adverse effect on the surrounding neighborhood. Looking to the future, I don't see that as being as much of a problem, but I sort of need help on items 1 and 2.
Right. Well, kind of overriding all four of them is the idea that it's supposed to be exclusive agriculture, and now the county's come back with requirements in the new general plan update that you have to have a minimum, you have to be able to show a minimum of 1 acre foot per acre, which would mean on this property, 20 acre feet for agriculture purposes. And of course, you can't grow much on 1 acre foot, so it's really, if you're going to make any substantial agriculture use, you have to have 3 or 4 acre feet per acre.
There's nothing growing on it now?
I'm sorry?
Nothing growing on it now? Any
no.
crops or anything?
No, it's just bare land.
And there's one house is occupied
right.
by the Hayashi family? Or
one house that's rental, and there's a well on that. That's the well that was tested under the hydrologic report. So, again, they all come under this number two. Without the variance, I don't know how they're going to enjoy the right to use it for agriculture, which is what it's zoned for, because there's just not enough water to irrigate 20 acres out there on this or the adjoining parcel. If there was, it'd be wells going dry. The other thing that's happened since all this took place in the last 3 or 4 years that you know is SGMA, which is the Sustainability Groundwater Management Act. And you can't just go out and put a well anywhere you want it and try to get as much water as you can. There's limitations on it. That's over and above the county requirements that they put in the new general plan. So there are other houses out there. I did speak with the neighbors. Nobody was opposed to it. Now, that's not evidence I can bring you a letter for that, but people don't like to put their names on things too much anymore. So, but I did talk to them.
There was no, we didn't receive any opposition.
We didn't receive any letters in opposition for or in favor of.
Yeah.
Okay. Is the intention to, for the family to live in these houses, or is this something they're just parceling off to sell off? Or
the intention for the family to live in the houses?
Yes. Yeah, they have, this is only part of them, but there's a lot of members of the family, and some of them do intend to put the principal residence there. So, as I said, they've held up for 18 years. So, and as far as number four, technically, the 20 acres that we're talking about is not in the new proposal. It's going to be requested, but it took years and years to get the general plan update published, and so how many more years it would be, I don't know. This application was filed before the general plan update came out.
So, Mr. Yule, the purpose of the application is to, of course, have the four or five-acre lots,
right.
And that's for to be used by the Hayashi family, because the question I would have is, they could leave it at 20 acres, but then it's not an efficient use of that property.
Right.
Let me ask if this is the same family that owned the property where the veterans home was built on West Fresno. Are you aware of that?
No, not.
You said they farmed on the west side.
Oh, west side, yeah.
On the west side, and if they... So the state took that property and...
Yeah.
And where they were living before.
Correct. Okay. Yes, it's true. On the, and to your point, it's a total waste. I mean, leaving out all the requirements to have water, which they can't meet, it's a total waste of property to put one house on 20 acres. Because what you usually have is 1 or 2 acres of use and 18 or 19 acres of weeds and whatever, trash blowing around. So it's...
I guess one of the concerns that could be raised, and I understand why staff is saying what they're saying, is that you have a lot of 20-acre parcels surrounding you. So on one hand, someone could say, well, what's to keep them from making the same application an argument? On the other hand, it sounds like the county may be going in that direction. We don't have that in front of us, however.
Right. Well, the map, it came out of the general plan update and does show that it's surrounded, on the westerly side. They're taking in that property and southerly of it to the border of those 20 acres, parcels.
Okay. Any other questions of the applicant?
Is the road an issue? Because the road to this parcel isn't unpaved.
Right.
Is it a county road or is it a private road?
Big Leone Road comes from Albury, and it was also extended. It doesn't show on their map, but it's extended to Fryant Road. So you can come into the property off of Fryant Road, and it's paved, and there's a gate. It's a private road. You can come in through the gate from Fryant, or you can come in from the Albury side, both directions. But it's a very nice paved road.
Now, and the proposed variance, does it include the road frontage for the parcels in the back? Because they're not going to have access.
So I might answer that question for you. Parcels in zone to 820 and 5 acres or greater don't require road frontage. So they can waive, the road frontage doesn't need to be waived. So they can access it through a private road if it's 5 acres or greater in zoned AE20. Does that answer your question?
Well, internally, there'd have to be something acceptable to the county if you're going to build on those four parcels in terms of driveways or whatever. But the main access to the parcel itself, yes, comes from both Albury and Friant.
The parcel now. Yeah. But if we approve this application, are we making five different parcels? It's a creation of four parcels, right? So if we approve this application now, we're going to have four parcels there, and three of them have no road access.
Right.
Right? So that becomes a problem in 50 years or 100 years when the person who owns that first parcel with road access decides that they don't want anybody driving through their land to those other three parcels in the back.
Yeah, I think there could be a condition that says that the remaining three parcels have to have access.
Is that part of this?
No, it wasn't a condition in there, but it could be a condition that, because the main access is there, it's paved, it's a very nice road, but there aren't internal roads because the parcels haven't been created, but certainly could be a condition that if they're created today, then there has to be access to the remaining three parcels besides the one that has the direct access.
Yeah, I feel like normally that's a condition or that's written into the application so that we can kind of clearly see if these are split up, how
right.
future property owners are going to access their land, and that's like legally.
Well, like I said, it's not a defense. I didn't write the application. It was done a year or two ago before I got involved helping Hayashi. So, but it certainly is reasonable to put that on there.
Maybe the applicant wants to speak to this.
Yeah. There's a perpetual easement that's been recorded in Fresno County
right.
that gives any property owner a right to use the both roads.
Okay. Any other questions?
I just thank you, Mr. Ewell. I had a quick question about, I think I'm close on maybe findings 2, 3, and 4, but I'm having a little hard time on finding number 1, whether there are exceptional or extraordinary circumstances. Could you just help me, rationalize that, whether that finding has been met in your view or not?
Well, I said when you factor in the water component, which right now it says exclusive agriculture. This is not limited ag. It's AE, which is exclusive, which you have to use it for agriculture if you're going to do anything other than put one house. Now that the general plan requirements have come out, which is after filing this application, they're saying you have to have a minimum 1 acre foot per acre water. This parcel and the adjacent parcel don't have that water. They have plenty of water for a house or four houses, but they don't have enough water to grow vines or trees or anything else. So to me, that's why it's exceptional in this situation that you now can't meet the water requirements that, as I said, that's even over and above SGMA. So if you have a big enough check, in the old days, you go out and drill a well, 1,000 feet and get as much water as you want. Those days are over. You can't do that.
Mr. Ewell, there is a reference to talking in that first variance finding by the applicant, talking about the land is not connected to the Willow Bluff Road because of the interruption of Reno Avenue and natural land barriers. What's the topography like out there? What barriers are they talking about?
If you look at the, right here, that's the property. And there's a big gully that goes through it, which back to the water thing, if you really did put the amount of water on there that would be required, you're going to have that water flowing all over the place to the other parcel. So it's steep, and much more so than it looks like on these photos. So you'd have a tough time, even if you had the water, which they don't, putting a lot of water in that area is just going to cause runoff and a mess, to be honest.
As far as those barriers there, the topography, is that throughout the entire 20 acres, or does it go down the middle, or how does that, as far, where you see the little hills and valleys?
Right, well, this, the road that you see there goes down into that gully, and...
What road is
that's
that?
That's the border.
Is that a private road, or is that...
That's a private road, but it's the people that come in off of Biglione there, off of Aubrey, they use it. It's a recorded, dedicated easement for those properties. And the road that went out to Fryant, or that does go out to Fryant, that was put in jointly by a lot of the owners out there so that they could have access off Fryant Road. They paid pro rata share to put the road in.
Okay. Any other questions of the applicant? Thank you, Mr. Yule.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members.
Anyone else speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? I'll close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for a discussion and a motion.
I can tell you where I'm at with it. I don't like a variance for this type of thing. I'd rather see it be a a rezone and a general plan amendment. However, the end result, if they did a rezone and a general plan amendment, it would almost undoubtedly, I would support it, and it would probably for sure go through. It would take a lot longer, and it would cost a lot more. If one of my other colleagues, one of the other commissioners, is able to word a motion in a way that can make the findings, I will support it. But I won't make the motion. So that's where I stand with it.
I'll try. I think I can make the findings. I mean, it's not. There are other properties in the area that could be similar, but I agree with the statements that the applicant made. I think with regards to the finding four, get to it. On paper, may be contrary to the general plan goal, but with regards to agriculture, it's not like other AE20 zone districts. I don't see it the impact on surrounding properties. I don't see it being that extensive. I mean, there is an there. It could be, you could say, well, there's going to be eight houses on 20 acres. Could be, I believe, as it will be, four houses on the 20 acres. But they would have that right. But I still don't think that would impact the surrounding properties looking at the future. Yes.
What about the access?
The access, I think, needs to be worked out. And I think whether it's an easement or some type of condition, we could add, if this is supported, add a condition that does not become an issue. Staff, do you have a suggestion?
The road frontage is not an issue, and it's not before you. It hasn't been noticed, so we don't want to do a variance on an item not before you.
Okay.
But as staff correctly identified, because of the size of the arc of the parcels and the zoning, they're not required to have dedicated road right away. So when they do the parcel map, there won't be a need to come back and get a variance to waive the right away.
Yeah. I think with regards to the findings one and two, the property is not flat where you can just irrigate, have have farmland. There are some physical characteristics that probably make this property unique. I believe the family, you know, since it's not like they bought it last year and they're looking to subdivide and sell right away, I believe they're sincere in wanting to have a place for family members. I'm familiar with the property that they did have out on the west side that was taken over by the state when they wanted to put the veterans home out there. So I believe I can make the recommendation, the alternative motion, to move to approve variance application number 4121, subject to the conditions of approval and project notes listed in Exhibit 1, and direct the Secretary to prepare a resolution documenting the Commission's action.
So. I'll second it.
Okay. So is there any discussion to approve this item? Okay, we'll do a roll call vote.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Yes.
Commissioner Zante?
Yes.
Commissioner Arabian?
Yes.
Commissioner Carver?
No.
Commissioner Chatha?
Yes.
Commissioner Yule is absent, and Commissioner Wolf is absent, as is Vice Chair Hill.
Okay, this item passes 4-1, is final unless appealed to the Board of Supervisors. We'll go on to item number 5.
Regular agenda item number 5, variance application number 4151 and environmental review number 8382, filed by Ashley Hearn, proposing to waive road frontage requirements and lot depth ratio requirements necessary to allow a property line adjustment concerning three parcels totaling 6.2 acres, resulting in two proposed substandard parcels, 2.49 acres and 3.71 acres, within the AE20 zone district. Subject parcels are located on the southwest corner of Horstorf Road and South Clovis Avenue, approximately 0.93 miles southwest from the unincorporated community of Layton.
Good morning. You can see here there's our three parcels in question. The applicant wishes to adhere to the physical circumstances tied to the land. Physical circumstances is a canal running between the three parcels. The applicant's desire is to move a property line adjustment from three parcels to two and create two parcels. Staff is able to make all four findings, as there is an extraordinary circumstance, a physical circumstance. It's necessary for the enjoyment of the property owner. The property owner can adequately farm if they wish to, and or if they can, they would have the opportunity, just like they would in the past, to build a home, two homes by right. There's no adverse effect on the property, and the parcel itself is in fact increasing density, so it's more in line with the intent of the general plan. The applicant's intent is to have the northern parcel for their home, and the southern parcel can be used for agricultural purposes. Therefore, staff is able to make all four findings. As of right now, there were no letters of rejections or concerns from the surrounding property owners, and staff recommends that you approve this project as recommended by staff.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you, Jeremy. Elliot, I'm sorry.
Jeremy 2.0.
Yeah, there you go. Is the applicant here? I'd like to make a presentation.
Yeah, hi, good morning, Chairman and all the council members. I'm here, Nick Sahota, 2511 Logan Street, Selma, and I'm a applicant's representative for Mr. Gunter. And thank you, considerations for this split, and it's from three parcel to the two parcels. And if you guys have any questions, I'd be here to answer it. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions of the applicant? You agree with the conditions recommended by staff?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
My only question is, what happens with that waiving the road frontage requirements? So
what,
is there access
that?
To both?
There's access to both of them, but the main issue is that it's just the parcels themselves are longer. they're not directly proportional to what the standard is. So just waiving the standards set forth in that that criteria.
Any other questions? Okay, anyone else to speak in support of this application? Anyone here in opposition to this application? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for discussion and a motion. Motion's on page 8 and 9.
I can make a motion.
Okay, Commissioner Carver?
I move. Do I just say to approve
approve as per staff?
As per staff recommendation.
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve the staff's recommendation by Commissioner Carver, second by Commissioner Arabian. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That carries 5-0. Item number 6. Staff, do you have any reports?
Nothing in particular. I would note that if you saw the general plan update is in process, not that near the finish line, but is becoming more real. So we would encourage you to pay attention to some of those issues. I would want to correct one mischaracterization today. The reference to the agriculture was for irrigated agriculture. There's not the same requirement for regular agriculture. With that, and that's all staff has.
Okay. Commissioner Chata, did you have anything to add?
I made a motion to adjourn.
Well, I guess we're done. Thank you.
See you.